You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. And remember, when you get in your car, just tell your smartphone or smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints to make that commute to work or back at home through traffic all the more tolerable with the newest episodes of Locked On Saints. I am your host, Ross Jackson, lead analyst over at AllSaintsConsidered.com, and as always, I'd like to start off with a big thank you and welcome to our newest listeners, as well as to all of those of you who have been rocking with me for a minute. So whether it's your first time or your next time, just know that I love hearing from everyone that tunes in, reads, and follows. So hit me up on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. And of course, that ASC stands for AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news, articles, and podcasts for Saints fans by Saints fans. And welcome back to another week and a new edition of Locked On Saints. For this Monday episode, we are going to be talking about slot receivers for the first segment. We know that the Saints are going to be interested in looking for some more receiving options. We talked a lot about tight ends. We talked a lot about some receivers that they can see in the draft, but let's talk specifically about some free agent slot receivers that can work out really specifically in sort of that position for them, where they didn't have a lot of production last year outside of Keith Kirkwood and Michael Thomas. So maybe they're looking for some more ammunition there. So we'll take a look at some of those players. And then in our second segment, we'll turn to our new section, our Mailbag Mondays. It'll be a weekly segment that we're going to start here today. I got some questions through Twitter and through the Locked On Saints Facebook group that we'll talk about there. And then we'll wrap it all up by taking a look at some of the biggest stories from around the league. So we got all that coming up for you and a little bit of land yap right here on Locked On Saints. All right, so let's get started by talking about some of these slot receivers that the Saints can target in free agency. Now, the Saints can more than certainly handle the slot this season with the personnel that they've maintained, especially if they keep their hands on Dez Bryant for the 2019 season. Michael Thomas, Dez Bryant, and Keith Kirkwood would all take slots from the slot and do so with success, but the Saints would more so have their number two spot covered with Bryant, Ted Ginn Jr., and Tre'Quan Smith. So they might look to bring in another option in the slot as a full-time backup for Kirkwood, or simply someone to just compete with him throughout camp. So there are a few options out there for this offense that we can take a look at. Let's start off within the division here in the NFC South. Adam Humphries of Tampa Bay, 26 years old, 5'11", 195 pounds, went undrafted in 2015. 83.2% of his snaps came from the slot, and he caught 59 of his 76 receptions, 666 of his 816 yards, and 3 of his 5 touchdowns from last year playing from that position. He also has some return experience as well as a kick returner and punt returner, but wasn't very successful last year, averaging just 6.6 yards per punt return and 8.5 per kick return. Humphries is a sure-handed receiver as well, catching 72.4% of all targets in 2018, no matter where he lined up, and 73.5% in 2017. Now, there's a chance that he sticks in Tampa Bay, but if he doesn't, there would be a lot of clubs that are going to be interested in him, and he's going to be on their list as they search for slot receivers, just like New Orleans, probably Detroit as well after losing Golden Tate. Golden Tate would easily be on this list as well, but I expect his price to be outside of the range that New Orleans is willing to spend, especially on a receiver with some of the other cheaper options and still effective options lying around. Now let's jump over to staying within the NFC here. Cole Beasley of the Dallas Cowboys, 29 years old, 5'8", 180 pounds, undrafted, coming into the league in 2012, took a whopping 88.2% of his snaps in 2018, targeted 16.6% of the time, 11th most in the league by receivers or amongst receivers that were targeted 300 times from the slot, or took 300 snaps from the slot, excuse me. He caught 77% of his targets from the slot as well, with 54 catches and 613 yards and 3 touchdowns coming from that spot. Beasley has been a trusted receiver around the first down marker, leading the Dallas Cowboys in receiving first downs 2 of the last 3 years. His contract is up in Dallas, and he made some cross comments about ownership dictating who gets targets on the team based on who they paid the most for, either financially potentially or via trade capital. So he'll likely not be re-upped in a Cowboys uniform next season. Beasley could get the chance then to rejoin his former teammate and good friend Dez Bryant in New Orleans if the Saints also re-sign him while also bringing on Beasley, which could be a good situation for the eighth-year receiver who saw his best year in tandem with Bryant back in 2016. All right, now this one, I'll explain it, but I'm not too confident about this guy. It's just somebody that I should include on the list. Danny Amendola out of Miami this time. He signed with the Miami Dolphins last year, and then they seem to be looking to move on from him. 33 years old, 5'11", 190 pounds, undrafted coming into the league in 2008. Four catches for 437 yards and his lone touchdown in the slot last year. Basically, all of his numbers for 2018 came from that spot in the lineup. Only 16 catches and 138 yards. Otherwise, he accounted for 27 first downs, however, which tied the team for most as a receiver. Amendola, of course, has made himself known far before joining Miami last offseason. The Dolphins are expected to move on from the veteran wide receiver, and many sources are speculating that he's en route to a reunion with the Patriots and Tom Brady if Belichick can just look past the comments that Amendola made about his decision to bench Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl a couple years back. Then perhaps the reunion could come to fruition. However, if not, he could find some time to team up with one of the other greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game with Drew Brees in New Orleans. Amendola isn't a yardage monster or a deep threat by any means. He's a middle of the field, pick up the tough yards kind of player that's reliable on third down and can beat up any zone coverage while also being tough enough to muscle his way through man coverage as well. Just always seems to find his way open and can make some tough catches. His build is just doesn't really fit the Saints' typical slot target, but you know, maybe reputation and experience that that Amendola does bring would be enough to overlook that. I think it's a long shot for sure. Not even sure that I'd want this realistically, knowing the type of game that Sean Payton and Drew Brees like to play. They may be concerned with finding more speed and youth at this position as opposed to experience and trying to rely on past success. Now, this is the guy that I feel like is the most likely, and that's Jamison Crowder out of Washington, 25 years old, 5'9", 177 pounds, fourth round pick out of Duke, played 76% of his snaps from the slot in 2018, 74.4% in 2017, 21 catches, 287 yards. That includes 1.41 yards per route run and 13.6 per catch, and two touchdowns last season in the nine games that he played, missing seven due to injury. In 2017, he only missed one game and played 337 of his 453 snaps from the slot, gathering 44 catches for 535 yards and three touchdowns. That's 1.59 yards per route run, tied for eighth among receivers with at least 300 snaps from the slot. And he also added 12.1 yards per catch. Now, his best season was back in 2016 when he caught 67 passes for 847 yards and seven touchdowns. All seven of those touchdowns and the vast majority of his yardage coming from the 46 catches that he saw from the slot. He had a great turnout his second year, but he's been on a bit of a downward trajectory after missing weeks 5 through 12 last season with an ankle injury, but did finish out playing the last five contests, logging at least one reception in each of those games. Part of his 2018 struggles, though, could also be because of the quarterback changes. Remember, it was Alex Smith's first season there. He didn't mesh super well with Smith, never really found a rhythm between the two of them. And then once Smith got replaced by Colt McCoy and then Mark Sanchez and finally Josh Johnson, none of those are quarterbacks that are ever going to get anything out of weapons the way that Drew Brees has been able to get, you know, out of his, especially, you know, undrafted or unsung weapons that he has in his offense as well. Now, Crowder is widely respected as a slot receiver and expected to return to his 2016-2017 level of production if he finds the right home. The only thing that might make New Orleans shy away from him is his size. Kind of like what we talked about with Amendola. All of last season, the Saints only carried one receiver, the Tommy Lee Lewis, under 6 foot, and they tend to like bigger bodied receivers there in the slot, like Marcus Colston, Michael Thomas, Jimmy Graham, and Keith Kirkwood, who all excelled in that mold. All right, so those are four options that the Saints could look to in free agency to come in and challenge for the slot position in the offense. I still think Jamison Crowder and Cole Beasley are probably the two most likely, Jamison Crowder being the most likely and the one that I have my fingers crossed for. Even if he doesn't make the team in particular and just comes in and challenges Keith Kirkwood, and maybe Keith Kirkwood still beats him out for the position because of his size. And don't forget also Cameron Meredith plays very well from the slot as well, and he should be coming back healthy next season too. So the Saints may not need to bring anybody in, but if they do, I think Jamison Crowder is a really good look from the free agent pool. And of course, that's before we even get into the very, very deep wide receiver pool in the draft as well. So there's lots of options out there. So, all right, stick around, because when we come back and we talk about your questions in the Mailbag Monday. So we got that coming up, and then we'll wrap everything up with some of the biggest stories from around the league right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, welcome back, Hoodie Nation. Coming up next, we're going to talk about some of the bigger stories from around the league. But first, I want to get to some of your questions. I put out a mailbag request, and I got a few questions on Twitter, and I got one over on Facebook as well. For those of you that don't know, I also started up a listener line for Locked On Saints as well, that you can call in and leave your comment or question in a voicemail, and then that way I can actually put it, and you can hear your voice here on the show. The number for that is 504-229-4265. You can also find that in my Twitter bio as well. So make sure if you ever get the chance, go ahead and call in, hear yourself on the show. So let's get started with some of these questions here. I'm going to start off with my good friend Barry Herstius, who writes over at Big Easy Magazine as well as Saints News Network. He said, give me five players ranked 1 through 5 that you'd personally like to see the Saints draft at number 62 overall in round 2. All right, here we go. Number 1, TJ Hockenson, tight end out of Iowa. Big body tight end option that the Saints have been trying to get their hands on for quite some time now. It's hard to tell where tight ends are going to land in their class or in any class. We all pretty much had our fingers crossed out there that Mike Gesicki and Dallas Goedert, or Mark Andrews even, would fall to New Orleans last year at the end of the first round, which became irrelevant anyway. But Mike Gesicki and Dallas Goedert both landed until early second round, and then Andrews made it all the way to 86th overall in his selection. So really, Hockenson, Irv Smith Jr., or Dawson Knox could fall here to the Saints at number 62. My second one here, Deebo Samuel, wide receiver out of South Carolina. Having another tough receiving option for Drew Brees would be amazing, especially considering the struggles that they saw last year and the uncertainty of health and recovery that around receivers Dez Bryant, Cameron Meredith, and the long longevity of Ted Ginn Jr., who missed the majority of last season as well, though he came back strong. Bringing in Samuel would help to bolster a usually very strong part of the Saints offense, but also add an explosive option at returner as well. At number 3 here, I have Hakeem Butler, wide receiver out of Iowa State. I think that this is a pretty unpopular pick, but I've got him as my 4th best wide receiver in the draft, and if he were available at 62, I would be excited to see the Saints take him. Standing at 6'6" and possessing the run after catch ability that he has is just insane. And if you're thinking, wait, but we need a pass catching tight end, then go ahead and line Butler up in the slot, let him run up the seam, and watch him alleviate all of those concerns for you. His ability as a run blocker helps sell him as well. Put that big bodied guy like Butler out there on the perimeter and let him bully smaller defensive backs to create for the outside run game for Ingram and, well, hopefully Ingram and Kamara next season. Or let him push those DBs around on his routes into the red zone, and you won't be missing a pass catching rookie tight end anytime soon, especially if the Saints land a pretty solid veteran one in free agency. Number 4, I have Kalen Saunders, defensive tackle out of Western Illinois. This is me assuming that Gerald McCoy hasn't ended up in New Orleans by the draft, in which case pouncing on an athletic defensive tackle would be in the best interest of the Saints front office. Saunders moves uncharacteristically well for a guy his size, 6'2", 310 pounds, cutting backflips at the Senior Bowl practices. His skill is as an interior pass rusher, and his quickness in the run game will help fill the gap left by Sheldon Rankins and potentially David Onyemata, who might be suspended at the top of the 2019 season. And then number 5, I've got Michael Dieter, offensive lineman out of Wisconsin. Yes, the boring O-line pick, I went there, but I mean it. For Dieter's versatility is unreal, and while he needs some work, Wisconsin produces great offensive linemen, and the Saints are in need of both depth and future in that unit. Our second question here comes from SaintsFanSince83 or at SaintsFan83 on Twitter. What do you think that the Saints will do to open up some cap space, considering that they only have about $8 million right now? Saw something that said that we could open up to about $40 million. Is that true? $40 million is a little ambitious, but they can certainly open that up near the $20 to $25 million or so range. Cutting or trading Pete would immediately save the Saints $9.6 million. Cutting Kurt Coleman, which should have happened weeks ago, will save $4 million. And cutting or trading AJ Klein would save another $4 million. They could also decide to give up on Cameron Meredith, a move that would lead to some dead money, but could save an additional $3 million as well. If they restructure some deals like Cam Jordan, Teron Armstead, or even Drew Brees, that could help them get to that more ambitious range, but I don't know that they'll get all of those done. Brees is set to be paid $33.5 million next season. So if he's going to plan to play the following year in 2020, he might as well extend now to knock this year's hit down and allow the team to build around him a bit. All right, this one comes from Chris McDonald from over at the Locked On Saints group. He asks, I know that it wouldn't be a good fit or it might cost too much, but could the Saints look at making a trade for Antonio Brown? Now, here's the thing. He wouldn't be a good fit and would probably cost too much, yes, but absolutely they should look into it. And I get it. Saints fans are hesitant because of the attitude that AB carries. It would be tough to see him and Michael Thomas working out the number one versus number two guy dynamic. And you can be as unrealistic as you want about it and say, well, they can both be the number one, but please internally for yourself, understand that that's not an actual thing. And not that Chris said that at all, but I've seen a lot of people on Saints Twitter say that already. And look, there's just always inherently going to be a number one versus number two receiver, and there's no real working around that. Once one gets a heavier volume of carries, that person becomes number one, the other person becomes number two. There's not a way around it. Now, Brown would cost a pretty penny, not even just his contract. I mean, he's got $21 million of dead money to the Steelers if he leaves, but even just in terms of trade fodder, and it's likely a penny that the Saints don't have. Amari Cooper, for instance, who might be younger, yes, was moved mid-season for a first round pick in this year's draft. AB might be going on 31, so he's a little bit older, but he's also got 7 1,000 yard receiving seasons under his belt, so more likely that that would mean multiple picks in this year's draft, including a first, or the first would just have to be early enough that a team like San Francisco might be able to get away with it while only moving one pick. Unfortunately, the Saints simply won't have the trade fodder to really entertain the conversation, but they might as well inquire. And finally, Ulysses Guiamara asks a multi-part question here. Number one, who deserves to be extended this offseason? I'll say Cam Jordan, and that would also help with his cap hit. Josh Hill was a smart extension. I think he deserved the extension that he already got. I could also see them working to extend Von Bell with his contract set to expire next season and Dennis Allen having re-signed for 3 more years at defensive coordinator. Dennis Allen loves Von Bell. He's going to be around. Might as well try to keep Von Bell around as well. Michael Thomas might as well get paid if they're going to do it. They might as well do it, you know, soon. And then they might as well also go ahead and pick up Sheldon Rankin's 5th-year option while they're at it. Number two, any potential cuts you'd like to see? Yes, Kurt Coleman, Ken Crawley. That's easy. Number three, any trades that you'd like to see? I would love to see them move Andres Pete for a day two pick if they could find a way to do it. And I also wouldn't mind seeing New Orleans re-up their trade talks with Arizona for Patrick Peterson. I know that sounds crazy, but look, if they land a solid tight end and free agency, Dez Bryant and Cameron Meredith might be looking like they're on track. And if they feel comfortable re-signing them, then they don't really need the pass catcher thing in the draft, at least not round two, not that early. Trade the second round and a 5th round pick for Patrick Peterson and stamp your ticket to Miami in February. He also went on to mention that he'd like to see Vernon Davis become available for some poetic justice, which also seems petty enough for Sean Payton to be all about it. And then I had one other question here from at Phil's Take, who hit us with a great question last week. This time he asked, not sure if you covered this last week, but a solid analysis of Marcus Davenport's first season before he got hurt would be interesting since we went so hard after him last year. I want to save that because I am doing that position by position review. So when I get to defensive line, I'll specifically address Phil's Take's question here about Marcus Davenport and what my analysis is on him after his first season before he was hurt. Really, and after he was hurt and when he returned as well, because he played well when he was on the field before or after the injury. So, all right, so that does it for today's mailbag. Again, all week this week, if you have any questions or anything that you want to hear next Monday, go ahead and hit me up on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. Join the Locked On Saints Facebook group. You can ask your questions there, or you can call the listener line 504-229-4265. Leave a message and hear your voice here on the podcast. Thanks again for all of your questions. Glad that we get to add this into our routine here. I got some of the big stories from around the league coming up for you next right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. We're going to take a look at some of the big stories from around the league, and I want to start off with some more draft news here. Oklahoma wide receiver Marquise Brown will not participate in the Combine or Oklahoma's Pro Day after undergoing a foot surgery that will keep him out. Marquise Brown would have been on my list of like one of the top five players that I would love that I talked about in the last segment for the Saints to take at 62, but I still don't think that even despite this, him missing the Combine, that he's going to drop far enough for the Saints to select him at 62. Jordan Reed from over at Cover One tweeted out the other day that Marquise Brown led the nation in plays of 40 plus yards with 11, 50 plus yards with 7, and 60 plus yards with 4. There's no way that a big time deep threat explosive weapon like that is going to slip past, you know, all of these wide receiver needy teams through the first round just because of this foot surgery that he's going through that's going to keep him out. He's expected to make a full recovery for it. And as John Sigler over at Saints Wire observed 2 years ago, Corey Davis had to sit out of the combine as well as his pro day as well, and still went 5th overall to the Tennessee Titans. And I would dare say that Marquise Brown is actually a better talent than Corey Davis was when Corey Davis was coming out of Western Michigan. All right, up next here in some Saints news, Bill Barnwell of ESPN did an article to where he talked about all 32 teams, and in the NFC version, he talked about the 5 steps that the Saints can take to improving their offseason or making their offseason successful or something like that. And it was a little strange. It was a little weird, and, you know, he's trying to cover the Saints from a distance and things like that. So he had some pretty reasonable things like create some cap space, set a price for Mark Ingram, and stick with it if he wants to go above that price, or if some other team is willing to negotiate above that price than to let him walk, but his price stopped at $4 million, which is currently what he sits at right now. And so I think that with him being an older running back now going into his 30s, he's not going to get up to that much. So I can't imagine any team really offering more than $4 million anyway. And then he talked about re-signing Andres Pete, which you've heard me over and over again on this podcast. I've been talking about trade him or cut him even, like just to knock off that $9.6 million salary. You could, the bonus to re-signing him would be that you can lower his cap hit and maintain him as a player as well. But if there are other options out there that the Saints feel comfortable with, either in the draft or in free agency, I wouldn't be mad at them just letting him go altogether. He talked about him getting being worth up to $65 million over a 5-year contract, and that's just not that's not where Andres Pete sits. Andres Pete is solid, but he's not a $65 million contract kind of a guy. He then talked about maintaining the other side of the ball, which everything there was right. Sheldon Rankins, 5th year option, picking that up, picking up Eli Apple's 5th year option, completely 100% with that, and then finding a replacement for Alex Okafor in the edge rotation. That's all great. And then he talked about trading up for Kyler Murray, which you heard me talk about last week, that Kyler Murray would be an excellent fit in New Orleans and he would work there, and New Orleans would be a good place for him because of the situation that he would be in. But he, you know, talked about him falling down to 21-22, and if he's falling down to 21-22 and the Saints need to make a leap from 62, they really don't have the assets to do that, and they'd have to trade away a ton of future revenue in order to get there, which they've shown that they'll do. I mean, they did it kind of for Marcus Davenport, but again, that was trading their first round pick and the next year's first round pick to move 13 spots. This would be moving almost 40. So it would be a much larger haul and kind of not entirely doable. I think getting back into the first round would have to be something like re-signing and trading Teddy Bridgewater and then making a move with that first round pick or something like that. But I just, with what the Saints look like this year and what they have the potential to be next year, I don't think that them giving up as much draft capital as what Barnwell is talking about is really the greatest move for forward for the Saints. And finally, in a much shorter story, the Cincinnati Bengals are still looking for a defensive coordinator after the Saints blocked Aaron Glenn from going in and interviewing for the job. He was apparently, the Saints were apparently allowed to block that because the gap between assistant coaches and coordinators somehow is considered a lateral move in the NFL. It's not considered, you know, going a rung up the ladder or anything. So the Saints were allowed to block that request. And, you know, which I still think is unfortunate. I know I've talked about it here on the podcast already. And I've talked about how no matter what, Aaron Glenn's probably gone within the next 3 years or after the next 3 years anyway. I imagine within the next 3 years, because he is going to get another opportunity elsewhere as a coordinator. He is very good at his secondary job position, which has been really great for New Orleans. But he's going to be a very good defensive coordinator as well. And he deserves that opportunity. So he'll eventually be getting that. So they're still working on it over in Cincinnati. They still haven't found anybody yet. They say they just need the right person. And really, you know, we Saints fans, we know they had the right person, but it just didn't work out for them. And, you know, that's good news for us, at least for right now, as people that follow the Saints and want to see them succeed, to have Aaron Glenn stay in the building with that secondary. All right, family, that does it for today's Monday edition of Locked On Saints. Make sure you come back tomorrow. I'm going to be going through the passing game review. You heard me do the run game last week. We're going to do the passing game tomorrow. So we'll talk about that. And then, of course, we'll talk about some of the bigger stories from around the league. Don't forget to hit me up with any questions for next week's Monday mailbag segment. So hit me up with that on Twitter or join the Locked On Saints Facebook group. Or you can go ahead and call into the listener line at 504-229-4265 and go ahead and leave your message and hear yourself here on the podcast. But for now, I just want to say thank you so much, everybody, for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family is doing. Let me know how you live in. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the podcast. And please take some time to drop some reviews and some ratings, as every little bit helps a lot to find Locked On Saints. Just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints and be sure to subscribe so you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Thank you so much for all your support and helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints. And trust, Who Dat Nation? I'll holla at you.